Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We are looking at the somber subject of sin, the doctrine of sin in the Bible, what's known by systematic theologians as hamartiology, the doctrine and study of sin in the Bible. Last time we looked at theological theories of sin and the transmission of sin. Is sin in each one of us merely present when we decide to commit sin, being originally innocent in the beginning? Or are we born with a nature, a proclivity towards the commission of sin? Scripture tells us we are born sinners. We inherit a fallen, sinful nature from Adam because he acted as federal head for the human race. We acted in Adam as he acted before God. And had we been in Adam's place, we would have done exactly the same thing as Adam. Romans 5:12 through 21 sums up and teaches the doctrine that in Adam was the will of mankind, and as Adam willed, so all of mankind willed. As Adam acted, so all of mankind to come after him acted in him. Because Adam sinned, we sinned with him. And the penalty for sin is death. Death passed from Adam on to all men because all have sinned. Now I want to get into the various definitions of sin. The various definitions of sin. What is sin? We hear it talked about by radio preachers, clergymen, and theologians. Oftentimes when you mention sin to a modern day hearer, they look at you puzzled, not knowing exactly what you mean. They have a general idea that it means to do something wrong. Nay, but it is much more than doing what is wrong. To do wrong means that there is a standard, a universal moral code that everyone agrees and seeks to adhere to. And to deviate or to violate that moral code would then be to commit sin. This is just one definition of this heinous reality in our world. There are several definitions of sin in the Scripture. Kevin J. Connor, in his work, The Foundations of Christian Doctrine, lists six different definitions or meanings for sin. We could say there are other things that sin is. It is bondage. It is violation of God's law. It is separation. It is perversion. It is enslavement. We'll look at those other meanings as well as we examine the doctrine of sin as given in the Scriptures. First of all, sin is not doing good. Sin is the failure and the refusal to do good, as God demands and defines it in His Word. James 4:17 says, "To him that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." To him it is sin. And we do this all the time. There are things that we should do that are good, that are right, but we choose not to do them. In the beginning, Satan knew to do good, to obey God, to serve under his beneficent authority, and he did not. He chose to rebel. Adam and Eve both knew good and did it not. They knew God's law, and to obey Him was to please Him, and they refused to do it. So then, sin is not doing good. Another aspect of sin is pretending to be good when you're not good. This usually takes the form of a religious spirit, thinking that the sinner can commit good acts, charitable acts, acts of philanthropy and self-denial, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, and by doing these things, thinking, in addition to faith, or apart from faith in Jesus Christ, thinking that pleases God. That is the commission of sin under the pretense of doing good. The Bible says that all our righteousness are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. So we cannot do anything without the taint of sin tarnishing that act, that noble deed of good, that charitable work, because they are tainted. Apart from God, we cannot do anything that is good and acceptable in His sight. Paul said in Romans 3, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. That means perfect good, ongoing good, without interruption. The goodness of God is perfect, and if those seek to be justified by doing good alone, they must be perfect in doing good. They must perfectly do good. And, of course, man being a sinner, flawed and imperfect, even his good deeds, outside and a part of saving faith, are tainted and tarnished with his sin nature. This is the most dangerous form of sin in the church today and in the religious world, because these people think that they can, by the accumulation of their good deeds, please God and somehow earn His acceptance and entrance into heaven. Nothing could be further from the truth. Salvation with God and right standing with God comes through His grace given alone through Jesus Christ and His righteousness imputed or given to the forgiven sinner. A perfect righteousness. We cannot stand in our own righteousness. It simply just does not work that way. Jesus talked about the righteousness of the Pharisees in Matthew 23, 13 through 33. Paul talks about all the religious works he did prior to coming to faith in Jesus, and he said they were as dung or excrement. The Greek word is actually stronger than what I'm saying, and there is a coarse word for it in English, but I will refrain from saying that. But in Philippians, I believe it's 3, 4 through 9, Paul talks about how his life before Jesus Christ, his life of strict Phariseeism and so forth, his scruples to be morally upright in the law and so forth, all that was considered dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He counted all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for whom he suffered loss, and he expresses how he was to be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So then, Paul's righteousness did not stem for his sincere efforts at trying to keep the law of Moses, but it came by trusting in Yeshua the Messiah alone, period. Another meaning of sin is unbelief. Unbelief is another meaning for sin. Romans 14:23 tells us, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Unbelief is the sin, the principal sin, from which all other sins stem from, that will send the unsaved sinner to hell. It is the stubborn and outright refusal to believe God's word, to take him at his word. And the unbeliever has a million excuses. None of them are good, of course, not to believe God or the word of God. He comes up with sophisticated argumentations, trying to debunk the Bible or finding moral fault or inconsistency in the scriptures, and thus attempt to invalidate it as God's word. And there are plenty of other excuses the unsaved sinner uses for his unbelief, his refusal to believe in God and his word. In the beginning, Adam and Eve knew the good and perfect will of God, yet they sinned. They sinned against the revealed word and will of God. They fell from faith in the word of God to unbelief. They chose to believe the devil's lies instead of God's truth. And so, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Failure to believe in the word of God, failure to trust in the gospel of salvation is unbelief, and it is the sin that will damn the soul. Foolish behavior, foolish thoughts are also considered to be sin. Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin. In the Hebrew, the word foolish, or to be a fool, is one who acts devoid of wisdom and common sense knowledge. Foolishness. To be a fool is to go against what is sound, what is logical, what is reasonable, and what is indeed the fact of reality. Good example, again, going back to the Garden of Eden. When Satan and Adam entertained the thought of being as gods, they entertained foolish thoughts that could never happen. Out of this foolish and arrogance was born their sin. They disobeyed God and chose a foolish course. Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin. Proverbs 24:9. Sin also is the transgression, the violation of God's law. 1 John 3:4, sin is transgression of the law. What is the law? The law is the word of God. It is to transgress God's moral precepts in His Word. This entails to go against, to cross a forbidden line. God has set up boundaries by which man's behavior is curtailed and controlled for his benefit. And the deliberate and willful crossing of those boundaries is transgressing God's law and therefore to commit sin. Transgress in the Greek means to literally to pass across, to go across a forbidden boundary line. It's like what you see when you see a sign that says private property, no trespassing, keep out, and deliberately going, walking onto that property in violation of the boundary given. And that's what sin is. It is to journey into forbidden territory, to go beyond the prohibition and control of God. And today in our lawless and hedonistic society, people don't want to hear this. They want their freedom, so they think freedom to commit acts of lawlessness. And in the end, their acts of lawlessness will destroy them. We have seen this time and time again. They lack self-control, nor do they want to be under the control of God's protective authority. So they violate that authority by going against God and violating the moral boundaries He has set in His law. Then we have unrighteousness. This is also sin. 1 John 5:17. All unrighteousness is sin. What is unrighteousness? Well, it is to commit any act that is improper, unjust, and against the righteous standard of God's law. To act unrighteous is to act contrary to the right pattern and code of conduct God has set in His law. Unrighteousness is sin. And those who act unrighteous sin against the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? In the context of salvation, it is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. To be unrighteous in this respect is to negate and deny the need and belief in the gospel. That is unrighteousness. And it is a sin. Plain and simple. It is a sin. So, this then means that we must conduct ourselves in a righteous way before the Lord. Before the Lord. And if we don't, then we have committed the sin of unrighteousness. Plain and simple, again. Let's look at some other features or facts that give us an understanding of what sin is. The nature of sin in both the Old and New Testament is shocking, appalling, and given much space in the Word of God. Sin emanates from a corrupt and fallen heart. The reason I believe God gives so much space in His Word to the reality, the ugly realities of sin, is because it is the fatal enemy of man. And until man deals with his sin problem, he will be damned and destroyed by it. Hence, the important reason why man needs to be saved from sin. As we've said before, sin, or disobedience to God, first originated with the devil. Before he became a devil, he was the chief angelic being who stood and guarded the holy throne of God. Then a perverse thought entered into him one day based upon his own love of his appearance. Out of this narcissistic adoration of himself, he thought he could dethrone God and place himself on that throne with his angelic with his angelic group that sought to rebel with him. Sin, the nature of sin is disobedience to God. It is the transgression, we just mentioned that, is the transgression of a divine command. In Hosea 6:7, we have the word, and we'll look at this word later, abar, for sin. It is a term applied to Adam's transgression, and as I said, it literally means to pass over, passing over a boundary. It is at the heart of the term transgression. And it signifies breaking of a known command, going beyond assigned limits, thus to trespass or transgress. It is this aspect of sin that is presented in Genesis 3. Adam, when he fell, overstepped certain limits set for him by God's divine command. Sin is an act. It is the commission or violation of God's law. It is to be in a state of unrighteousness. Hence the absence of righteousness. And its nature is enmity towards God. Another aspect of sin in the transgression of God's law would be the denial of God's right to command man to obey him. And this really is at the very heart of sin. It is rebellion against God's authority. Well, I'm going to do things my way. It is the arrogant presumption that the creature knows better than the Creator. The deliberate disavowal of God's guidance, authority, and counsel given through His Word to run, govern, and lead our lives. This word in Hebrew that Bess underscores sinful man's refusal to allow God to command them is pasha. It literally means to break away from, which again is the spirit or the condition of being lawless. Man not only began his downward trek in sin when he went beyond the boundaries of God's law, but also when he, in disobeying God, denied the right of God to command him, to impose such limits on him. Again, we see this today in our lawless and hedonistic society. When you tell people that they have to behave a certain way, and that to behave other ways is wrong, deviant, evil, they will attack you and even seek to ruin you because you are interfering with their love of sin and their maddening desire to rebel and reject God. To deny God's right to command us is to deny His legitimate sovereignty and supremacy over our lives. Hudson Taylor used to say, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Now, some who think that you have to believe and that obedience after belief is not necessary or important would say, well, he could never be Lord of all of our lives because we always have sin. True, true. But your attitude, your mentality is that you want, as a saved believer, you want God to be Lord of all in your life. And the process of sanctification is where God becomes all in all. Even though you still sin as a saved believer, you still, you desire. You still want God to be Lord of all. You want to give everything in submission to Him. Now let's look at another word or another meaning for sin in Hebrew is kata. Kata. Kataim is sins. Kata is the singular Hebrew word for sin. In the Hebrew, this biblical word for sin means an offense. Sometimes it's used in association with habitual sinfulness. The word also means to miss, to forfeit or to lack. Leviticus 4:2. Leviticus 4:3, 25 and 35. Psalm 32 verses 1 and 5. Psalm 51, verses 2 and 5, and Isaiah 53, 10 through 12. Chata literally means missing the mark, the Hebrew word for sin, coming short of God's perfect standard, which is part of the excellence of His moral glory. Examples of how chata, the Hebrew word for sin, meaning missing the mark, can be illustrated today is if you went to a gun range and you missed the bullseye. Or if you're an archer and you shoot an arrow and it misses the bullseye. Or if you play darts like they often do in pubs across England, and you throw that dart and you miss the bullseye, the center, the dead center, which is a perfect strike in all three cases. In shooting, in archery, and in playing darts. To miss the center is to miss the mark and to fail to score a perfect strike. That is what sin is, beloved. Chata is to miss the mark. It signifies a deviation from the divine will. When man misses his true center, proving that having deliberately overstepped the divine boundary, he has become unable to attain the divine standard of moral perfection. God expects nothing less than perfection. That's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And you would say, well, I can't be perfect. Precisely. Jesus aims at perfection to show you that you and I are imperfect sinners. And because we've violated the law, we are under God's curse and condemnation. Until we realize that Jesus is the only man who lived a perfect life and offers His perfection to us so that we then, through Him, can stand perfect before God with Jesus's unsullied righteousness. His perfect obedience becomes our perfect obedience when we believe upon Him for salvation. And then and only then can we hit the mark every time. So that is quite amazing that it is God that allows us through Jesus Christ to hit the mark every time with His, with His moral perfection. Amen. Well, we'll pick up next time on the meaning of sin as God reveals and defines in His Word when we are with you next week. Until then, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.